Welcome to Contagious Conversations, where automotive industry leaders dig below the surface and discover what it takes to shift the culture and perception of automotive retail. Let's get into the conversation. Today, we're excited to share this space with Chad Custer, COO and Managing Partner of Nelson Mazda in Tennessee.
So, Chad, I am so excited to hang out with you. Obviously, we've been talking beforehand and we talk often, daily. For those of you that don't know, Chad is my boss, the guy that I get to learn and be led by, and he creates vision for our company under the direction of Mr. Nelson. And I'm so thankful that he's agreed to come hang out and get on video and get on audio and be on a podcast with me. And he's supported me along in this journey. So I wanted to bring him in and let you all meet him. But Chad, just before this, we were talking a little bit about culture, and we're going to get into just building a really solid culture in the dealership and what that actually means. But I think what I really want people to hear first is a little bit of your origin story, how you came into the industry, and kind of what's cool about your 30 years in automotive.
Yeah, Kyle, first of all, thank you. It is fun to get to be able to do what we do and to do it together. And there is some elements to this contagiousness that you're talking about. So, it's hard to believe, roughly 30, it'll be 30 years in May. Just happened upon what was then Nelson Nissan Mazda. I was in college at the time. I was looking at a car, and actually one of my old classmates and friends greeted me. I had no idea that he was working there. Brandon Murphy, who is still with the company, which is great. And he got me interested in the business as I was looking for a vehicle. Didn't have any idea that I was going to get into sales. I was actually working on an associate's accounting degree to transfer to OU, and got interested in the business. And gosh, within a month I was working there, and I was 20 years old, and started to experience success early in the game, and really grew to love the business.
Awesome. So over the next that's kind of where you got in, but over the next 30 years you have gone from moving from Oklahoma and California and Tennessee, and had adventures all over the country. So tell us a little bit about kind of that journey and what it looked like to even that first time where you walked into a management role and then were taken around and being able to see different sides of the industry across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. I mean, all the credit to God, because let me back up. I was a new believer in 1990, started in May of 91, had no idea what I was doing with my life. And just to be completely transparent, car salesman didn't have the best stereotype, right? So a little bit, you know, hesitant or semi-embarrassed about, I'm a car salesman. And so not that I had anything to be, I mean, it's not like I came, you know, I was something grand or anything, but it was just a stereotype that came with it. And so got into it. Like I said, I fell in love with the business, and really it's about people and Mr. Nelson's vision. Mr. Nelson was a new believer. So immediately started learning more about him and how he ran his company. And I didn't know anything about the car business because I'd never been in it before, but I liked what we were doing there and I liked what he was doing. And so I got behind it, you know, and I got behind his vision, and really just, it was exciting to be a part of that. And sold for, you know, had success, and I don't want to kind of go into that, but I had success, was able to buy a house at a young age and do some really cool things. And of course, you know, my value I thought was growing. It had a little bit of manageritis, as we all do when we get in the business, wasn't the right time. I think I took the slow path. It took it like 4 years for me to become a manager, but God knew exactly what he's doing. I wasn't ready. I thought I was, but I wasn't ready. And so got into that role. And really, it was always, you know, Mr. Nelson said, I mean, kind of this plays into the culture piece. He says, the higher you go up in our company, the more people you have to serve. And that stuck with me for, gosh, forever. And so we operate from a reverse pyramid, if you will. So we're about serving our people. And so I focused on the people that I had a responsibility for to make sure that they were successful. And I enjoyed it because, you know, I think you really have to love people. That's one thing we talk about when we're doing interviews. We can teach you a lot of things. We just can't teach you to like people, you know? And so you got to love people if you're going to be in this business.
Yeah.
And then started. So it became a manager, was in the Broken Arrow Nissan Moss store for roughly 9 years. And then an opportunity came available to move to Nashville. And Brandon had moved out here a year ahead of time. Basically, it was a lateral move for me, came out to support him, but knew I was supposed to come and also have, you know, an amazing wife who supported every move, part of every journey, because it's just, you know, you got to have that support. And so moved out here. And within 2 years, I came here in 2000 to Nashville, which is where I am today. We bought our second store in Rivergate. And then we bought another store in California in 2007. I moved out there and was out there for just short of 2 years, came back to Nashville. And I've been here since roughly the about mid 08. And Nashville is its home. Three boys, two of them born here, and just absolutely love it. And love the company and the footprint that Mr. Nelson and the companies have here in Nashville.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so I've been with the company for 8 years, and I'm going to point back to, it was either a Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember, I think it was a Thursday. And then at that point we were having, and this is just over 8 years ago, March 13th, 8 years ago. And I'll never forget this, but we're in the showroom of Antioch. And I don't think I've even told you this. So this is brand new, but, so we're in the showroom of Antioch and we're having our employee appreciation, right? Once a month. On Fridays at that point, we've kind of shifted around since then, but we do it once a month and we bring in food and we celebrate employees and we celebrate, you know, specific employees of the month and just wins and new things that we're doing. And then we have food. And so, you know, first of all, I'm getting encouraged. I'm like, okay, this is good. This is good company culture. This works, right? And you talk, and at that point, Chris Russell was with us, and he talks, and the service managers and everybody that's at that manager role kind of talks, and I was new, so it's, hey, Kyle's new, and a few other new people around that timeline in that month, and I was like, oh, this is great, this is cool, I can deal with this every single month, and that wasn't what blew my mind. What blew my mind was after that, everybody goes through the line and starts eating. And I'll never forget, I took a picture. I was sneaky. I like grabbed my phone and I was doing this whole number. And I took a picture of you sitting at a table with a technician and a detail person. I don't remember who it was at this point.
Wow.
But I texted it to my buddy who worked at the store that I came from. And I was like, you'll never believe what's happening. The COO, the owner, is sitting at the table having a meal with these people. And that has carried, I mean, that image has stuck in my mind for 8 years and continues to carry everything that we do. So I'll tell you, when that happened and when I saw that, and I think that's what people see about our culture here at these stores, is there's no like, oh, that's that table and that's this office, right? This is a team. And when you say that reverse pyramid, that makes a whole lot of sense. So was that kind of always in the DNA? I know Mr. Nelson, I know that's his heart. Was that kind of always in the DNA? And then you came alongside that, or that was something that you wanted to champion, or how did, was it just something that rose out of the DNA, or was it something that really, maybe before I came in, and we're still working on culture, it's continual work, but before I came we really had to kind of put an emphasis on that to get to that point where that meal, that sit around the table could happen.
You know, Kyle, I'm glad you shared that with me, because I didn't know that, but you know what, I'm grateful that you brought it up, but I'm also saddened that that is that it that's not like normal, right? Yeah. I always saw Mr. Nelson interacting with everybody. When I was in Oklahoma, I mean, it was like the detailers would be in his office. And, you know, really, if you think about it, everybody's position, we all have different, I mean, there might be different paycheck amounts, but we need every single position. And every person fills those positions. And they have a life. They have a life outside of here. They're just as important as anybody. We all carry that balance. I don't care if you're, you know, if you're doing the lawn or if you're washing cars, if you're turning wrenches, if you're signing checks, it really doesn't matter. It takes all of us to equal that, to accomplish our goals that we're trying to do. We cannot do it. We know how hard it is when one person's out, right? If detail's out, like you have a detailer out, gosh, you need to be bringing those guys coffees, waters, whatever you can, yeah, loving on them, because when they're out, especially if you're in sales, you're picking up a chamois and you're getting it done because you got to get that car delivered, right? If you're a technician, I've seen our service managers doing oil services because they're short and they're, you know, the lube guy's out or whatever. That every position matters. It just does. And so, yeah, I mean, I just look at them. I love people. I'd love to know what's going on in their lives. I mean, it's, to me, that's just as exciting. I've seen that Mr. Nelson, you know, sometimes we'll talk, he won't even talk about business. Hey, what's going on? What are you doing this weekend? How are you, you know, what, how's your family? How are your kids? You know, that, I think we all, that's what I'm saying. When you love people, you want to know, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, and then, I don't know, for me, when I said I can get behind it, you want people to get a part of the vision to where they want to run through walls, not they feel like they have to do something. Mm. And that's exciting. When you're still excited to get up and go to work, it's not a, like I have to, but I get to. And there's a clear differentiator between those two attitudes, right? Yeah. It's contagious. Huh, there we go.
Thanks for the branding.
All right.
he's dropped contagious two more times than I have. I love it. No, I completely agree. I think that's what, when people catch fire with the vision and, right, and here's the thing, I think as leaders in the automotive industry, we could get up on stages, get up in showrooms, get up in service drives and say a whole bunch of really fancy things. There's a lot of people that are really good at saying really fancy words, but it's the activities that make a difference. It's the, it is picking up the chamois. It is saying hi and recognizing names and being involved in the people's lives and caring about what's going on. Like, crying with people, understanding the joys and the pain and the hurt. And I've seen so many times someone's having a child or someone's, you know, getting a house, and it's like everybody comes around . I remember, I'm going to share one more story, but we were having our second child at that point I was primarily leading the sales BDC team. And it was so cool. I popped in one day to the office it was after a day I was at the other store, and I popped into my office and I opened my door and the whole office is just flooded with baby stuff. They had found the registry. And that's the type of stuff that, like, when people come around people and that humans are humans, then we get a lot. And I think that's, and not for the whole automotive industry, but I think that for a large part of the automotive industry, that's not been the case. And I know that you know, having those connections across the industry, have seen some of that. So what is it, because a lot of this has grown up in the DNA of the Nelson Auto Group, right? And it's kind of grassroots level. What would be your encouragement for maybe a leader or an owner, a dealer principal, or a GM or GSM is listening to this and hearing this and going, well, that sounds all good and fancy, but that's just not the reality. What are the first steps to take, or what are the mentality shifts that it takes to start to turn the ship and allow this to actually become DNA?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I think it's so important that, you know, and first of all, I think that it's not, there's, I hate to use the word I try to avoid that, but but as a team, that there's a plan, that the executive team has a clear plan, like an org chart. Equate it to sports. You wouldn't just go out and say, okay, hey, someone, you guys just get out there on the field and do your best. No, there's a position that everybody has to play, and they have to know their plays. And so that's crafted before they even bring in the players, right? So getting those positions that determine who's doing what and how many you need, and then making sure you get the right people for the right positions. And so that's why the hiring piece is so important. We use Art Neiman and Associates for personality profiling. We use, an HR component to make sure that we're getting the best candidates. We make sure that we do several interviews and we go through and we do the background checks and we call the references. We do a thorough job before we hire that person because we want the retention to last, right? And then we know that we have a system that they're gonna be plugged into where we believe that they can succeed through the leadership, encouragement, the tools, the software, the training, and then a team that just embraces them because we've made the right hire and they're going to complement the other team members. And so that synergy starts to play and by putting the right people in the right places. And that starts with the hire and the clear expectations of what you want from each position out of that individual. And so we hire characteristics that we can't train. You know, I said earlier, we joke around, but it's true. I can't train you to like people. We just can't do that. So we're going to make sure that you have a heart to serve. We have a servanthood type culture here. And so we talk about we're employee focused and then our customers will be happy. Mr. Nelson has said, since I can remember, if your people are happy, then your customers will be taken care of. And it's so true, right? So when we start focusing on trying to help one another out and making sure that they're successful and they're set up, you know, to accomplish their goals, then it's amazing how success follows that individual, right? They're not even, it's just, the momentum is going, right? And not only that, so the employees, or I hate to say team members, the family members, as we like to say, they feel it, right? They know that they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And then it's obvious for the customer, whether you're in service or sales. We talk about not having walls within the department, right? We talk about, you know, where there's, you know, you've seen it so often in many businesses, departments warring against each other. Well, yes, every department needs to be profitable. We're a business. We want to be efficient. We want to hit sales efficiency. We want to hit all of our goals. We have a clear plan for success. But beyond that, we want to take care of each other. Right? We want to make sure that we're helping each other accomplish their goals. That's why you'll see a technician pull up a car for a salesperson. Where does that happen? You know, right? I wish it happened everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're a part of what we do, Kyle. I know you feel this way in your heart. We truly want to help this industry grow and to change and to get beyond maybe the old stereotypes that kind of plagued it 20 to 30 years ago, because it is a fun industry. I mean, we get to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's for we think about this. We get paid to do what people love to do in their off time. They love to talk about cars, right? And they love to talk to people. So, and we get paid to do that. And so whether you're in the service part, sales, it's a fun business. And now we've got cool buildings. I mean, it's like, it is really, it's an exciting space to be in. And I think that's why we're seeing, by going with non-commission, more structured, more salary based, we're able to recruit and take people out of different industries that we haven't been able to do in the past. And it's truly exciting because we're not capped at hiring that gunslinger, if you will, the one person who the rising star is gonna, you know, just change our business. It's a team of people, right? We're not relying on that show, but we're relying on a team of people who are qualified to go way beyond one person's ability.
Yeah, absolutely. The hiring, the team, the growth, that's really the care that it takes. Everybody in whatever business can tell if you care about them or care about money more, right? I mean, you can, by the decisions that you make, by the actions that you take, by the way you walk in every single day, by the way your door is open or closed, they can, all of our employees can tell, and they can tell me, there's probably been times since I've been here that we have a company maybe have not done that as well on a day or two or week or, sure. And that's, we have to go back and look at that and go and self-assess and go, hey, we were maybe making decisions that weren't caring for our people in the right way. And we've done that multiple times. And I think that that's where real growth comes out of. But you touched a little bit on, you know, the hiring process, multiple interviews, personality assessments, a real HR process. That's not, there's a mirror, can you fog it? But a real process to make sure we're hiring the right quality candidates that aren't just the gunslinger salespeople. And hey, great gunslinger salespeople that have incredible qualities are absolutely right. Welcome. But so once we get that person hired, and obviously I know this, but I'd like to hear you talk about it a little bit. And we're looking at career pathing and growing that person. What are some of the practical tools that we're doing and that you're doing to ensure that people are given the right direction, the right feedback, and then the right career pathing to grow?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you have to have a clear path for every person, right? So often you come in and people don't even know what their job description is, right? So a position agreement is essential from the beginning. I mean, communication is generally, it really is what defines a company, whether it's good or bad. If the communication is good, you're usually going to see happy, productive team members. If you don't have clear communication, then it's they're left to their own devices. So yeah. Having a clear position agreement, and not to the point where it's so rigid, it's like, oh, that's not my job. No, because that's not our culture, right? So a clear position agreement, and then you have to give them the resources. Do they have nothing worse than having a bad computer that's slow, right? Do they have the right technology that can keep up with the expectations of their job? So making sure that our software, that our technology, that our computers are advanced, and they're doing, you know, we're not skimping on those areas of technology, if you will, looking at the greatest software. And Kyle, you do a great job of making sure that you're talking to, you know, the cutting edge vendors who are out there who are delivering the best results. And so making sure that we're aligned in that area. And then also too, you know, we've put ourselves, we've moved the buildings, you know, we were in different locations. I feel like we're in the best areas of town. So we're able to provide traffic in all departments, great facilities, which is awesome. Doesn't make the business, it just makes it a little easier, right? Yeah. And then also with that position agreement and the software and the technology, making sure we have the right leaders who are willing to serve their team members, to help them on an individual basis, assessing where they are in the process, constantly working with them to have the resources that they need. And then doing monthly reviews. We refer to KPIs, we call them MPIs, Nelson mm-hmm. Performance Indexes, right? And so that's comprised of 5 to 7 generally key indicators for their position. And we review them monthly in green, yellow, red. And so, hey, how are you doing? You know, looks like you're in the green, great job. Or if you're in the yellow, hey, we need to work you back to the green, right? So they always know where they stand, and it's a 30-day review. Which has not always been the case, right? I mean, gosh, we didn't even have things written down for a while. And so having it all, like basically like a dealership in a box, if you will, right? If you kind of imagine with binders, but now we're on drives. I'm dating myself here. So that you can sit down and you can do that review. I also believe that as leaders, we should never fire anybody. People let themselves go because they determine they cannot – they can't do what's expected of them, right? And so, but we can't make that demand if we haven't given that person everything that we have, every resource, every bit of communication, spent the time with them. It's not fair to them for us to say, hey, this isn't working out if we haven't given our part. So we ensure that we are pouring into those individuals so that they can do that. And so if there is a career move, it's not a surprise. It's like, hey, I think I want to try something else because this is the wrong place for me. I'm in the wrong seat, if you will. Right. And so I think that having those factors, it really takes a lot of the angst out. And so culture rises because when people are confident in what they're doing and they just feel good about themselves, they want to succeed, right? They're here because they believe in the vision. They're here because they, you know, Mr. Nelson, our slogans will make a believer out of you. And it starts with us making a believer out of our people. And I think there's complete buy-in with that, with our team. And so they get behind that and then they're empowered and the sky's the limit. Sometimes what's really fun is to take someone that you see something in that they might not see in themselves, and you make that investment And then they you know, pay off their debt. They buy a car. They start a family. You know, they buy a house. You're like, it goes beyond their expectations. That's what's exciting, you know? And so, and we have a lot of that, you know? I mean, so very grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you would also be the first to say, and I think this is why we grow so much, that I believe we've got a lot of this figured out, and we know what the roadmap is. We know the trajectory, we know what to do. And for the most part, we do it really, really well. We have opportunities, right? We're not silver bullets that just like crush it in every place, but we really believe that the way that we're doing business, the way that we're taking care of our employees, and the way that we're challenging the automotive industry to come alongside this way of doing business is the best way to go. And we're figuring out things every day. We're having meetings. We're learning from our people. We're learning from each other, but that's the best thing. Like, Chad probably gets tired. Hey, I'm thinking about this, you know, I'm always coming to him, but he's never like, Kyle, you know, and I think that's what I enjoy. And that's what other people enjoy that get to be a part of leadership and be a part of the front lines and really come at this with a team mentality and not a dictatorship mentality, you know.
100%, Kyle. You know, we talk about it in the meetings, and you know, really, we all have to check our egos at the door. You know, that there's plenty of room for that other places, but you know, we talk about, I don't want to be right. I want to be the best. Mm. And sometimes it's hard to put yourself out there, but I think it's so important. That's why we do the monthly employee appreciations. We come together, we celebrate everyone, and then we get open it up sometimes. Hey, what's on your mind? We want to know. And you know, doing those meetings, you know, once a year, once every 2 years, to get the good, bad, and the ugly about, hey, what can we do better as a company, right? And what, you know, sometimes it's as simple as, what was one of them, putting hot chocolate in one of the stores that the other store had hot chocolate. And so, you know, we wouldn't know that if we didn't take the time to listen to our people, which is really what drives the business. They're going to talk to more people than you or I ever could. They're on the front lines.
Right.
So they're representing the Nelson name. We want them to be bought in. And so we have to hear them. And you know what? We got a lot of smart people working for us. I mean, a ton of them. Who are we to say that we've got it all figured out? I just want to be the best. That's all I want. And I don't have to put my name with it. So yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Chad, I've thoroughly enjoyed, as always, just hanging out with you, whether we're chatting in your office or my office or on a Zoom to record a podcast. But I appreciate you, you coming on and just sharing your heart. And I think that there's probably a lot more people out there that at least share your heart, but maybe don't know how to truly execute what we're doing here. And so I'm glad that we were able to share some of those practical things, and you're able to share Mr. Nelson's heart and our heart as an auto group. That's a big deal to me, and appreciate you. I'll just publicly just appreciate you championing me and cheering me on and encouraging me, both with the podcast and Contagious, but also in my daily, and weekly work life. It's a big deal to me, and I know it's a big deal to a lot of people in our company. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm honored for the opportunity to serve. Kyle, I'm so proud of you. Thank you for having me on with this and just getting a chance to share Mr. Nelson's story, my story. It's truly a privilege and what a blessing to be able to do this on a daily basis. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, I typically do the where can you connect with Chad? Chad's not the biggest social media guy on the whole planet, but we are working on, we're going to work on his LinkedIn game. He wants to work on his LinkedIn game. So, but feel free, if you'd like to reach out to Chad, it's Chad Custer, and you can find him on LinkedIn, right? And then if you want to connect directly with him, I'd be glad to through any of the channels that you can connect to through to Contagious. But I know he loves having conversations with like-hearted people across the industry. So I'm sure you're open to that. I hope.
Absolutely. No, I'd love to talk to more people that want to make a difference in this industry. For sure, Kyle. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, cool. Appreciate you joining me. Take care.
Have a great day. See you, man. Check it out.
Thanks so much for joining our conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure and share it out. We can shift the culture and perception of automotive retail together. Until next time.